This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here today on Inside Douglas County. A lot going on, and State Senator Dallas Hurd in to talk about a lot of things, especially related to COVID-19. What are your thoughts on all this?
Well, you know, Kyle, I reached out to you earlier in the weekend saying I wanted to come on the radio this week because, you know, I just really frankly want us to have just a conversation like all of us in society are having about what we're dealing with. This is not, as most of you can imagine that are listening, this is not something someone in elected office or any position looks forward to dealing with or certainly speaking candidly about, because let's face it, we've never been through anything like this. It's not to say this country and this world hasn't been through tough times. It has. It's been through some really tough times. But in the modern world, here in America, we've really never faced something this weird and uncharted as far as, like, there's no model to go off of, right? And as I've continued to watch this situation unfold over the last couple weeks, I've been very involved in the behind-the-scenes conversations. But I've gotten to the point today where I just can't hold it back anymore. We need to continue to practice the best practices of cleanliness and keeping germs and the virus away from ourselves and away from others, especially if we've been infected, obviously. Practicing the social distancing. I fully support and endorse those methods of slowing the pace of this spread. But I can't in good conscience continue to watch us as politicians make decisions for all of us in our lives based on what I consider to be mostly driven by national media-driven panic. I, for one, no matter how dire the situation is, tend to always gravitate towards those who are urging calm and balanced decision-making. And so far, that is not what I've been seeing. This idea that the politicians are promoting, folks, that we can save ourselves from this virus by flatlining and collapsing our economy doesn't make logical sense. These are the moments that very few people in leadership have faced in this country that are walking around right now and living and breathing have ever dealt with, where we're truly facing something that really should not be political in any way, shape, manner, or form, and there's no good, perfect options or solutions. We're in between a rock and a hard place, truly. On one hand, we have a virus that is highly infectious. It's truly debatable how deadly it is compared to a lot of other things that have existed in this world and that are going around. It's disingenuous of the national media to continue to show this number of infections as growing endlessly, but never taking the 100 plus thousand people worldwide that have fully recovered from the virus off of that number. And I think we need to really start getting honest with ourselves about what's really going on here. Is there some big, massive conspiracy to collapse our economy and all this kind of stuff? I don't know. But I can certainly say that in my short life, in my business experience, in my economic study of how economies work and how that relates to public health and whatnot, you have to have balanced decisions and balanced strategies going out as we deal with this that protect public health and also protect your economic health. You really can't afford to move down the road just completely throwing one aside for the other. And our hospitals, let's just put it this way, like so everybody knows, this isn't some pitch to protect businesses and whatnot. It's just because I'm a business guy. It has nothing to do with that. It's the fundamental understanding that I have that you can't flatline this economy. And so when you start hearing from your CEOs of your hospitals, like I am throughout my district, that we're losing in some cases $2.5 million to $4 million a month per hospital system in these small rural communities while we wait. Let me highlight that. While we wait for the first or a group of cases of this virus to come through the doors to treat, that's unsustainable. This thing's going to catch up to us at some point. And if we're not careful, we're going to completely deplete our fiscal resources to where we don't even have the fuel, the money, the economy to fund the war effort against beating the virus. That has to be thought, that has to be more thought thought of in this conversation that I'm seeing right now. Governor Brown, for those of you that are really focused on this and paying attention, made a statement last week, I think it was Friday, at one of her announcements of further restrictions on the economy, that myself and Senator Bertschuger had her back when she was asked if she had political Republican support. That's true and not true. I called the governor on Thursday evening last night because I just felt led to.
Or last week.
Last week, sorry.
Yeah.
And just wanted to see how she was doing because she's a human being too. And had a really good conversation with her. I was actually at the time very impressed by how focused she was on protecting the economy because of the reasons I'm saying. You have to have an economy to fight the virus. But as I've seen her transition over the last several days into handing off the authority from her, she is our elected governor. She is our elected official who is the point person, the tip of the spear, if you will, for our state government to make decisions like this. I'm not comfortable with how much authority she has. That was granted to her by a group of fools, in my opinion, in the 1990s in the legislature that gave her, the governor, the position of governor, way too much authority. Well, now she's using that authority to shut down way too much of the economy, in my opinion. And she's now handed that authority over as of yesterday in her executive order to further restrict more industries and businesses in the state to a non-elected bureaucrat in Pat Allen at the Oregon Health Authority. That's wrong. That is not how a free society operates. Pat Allen and the people at the Oregon Health Authority are not economists. They're not business people. They are the last people that should be making that decision. None of these decisions should be being made by one person or one group. It needs to be a collaborative. That's the strength of a free society, is that we're allowed to govern ourselves on a micro level. Well, right now we're seeing a big government, centralized government, one size fits all kind of edicts being handed out. And I feel like I'm seeing, and I think a lot of you are probably nodding your heads in your cars and in your houses right now, you're seeing that the consequences of that economically may end up relating to a lot more deaths and unhealthy society long term because of the backlash of these overreactive type measures. And we've got to all start having some strong conversations amongst ourselves as free citizens about whether we're going to start calling for some of these measures to be eased up on. Let me tell you, that's not a fun thing for me to say. Nobody wants to be the guy or lady that is expected to make hard decisions. Nobody wants to be the guy saying publicly, hey, maybe we're going too far here. Because what if it all goes towards the direction of what's happening in Italy? Well, folks, we got to realize something. Two things about Italy. Italy is the second oldest per capita population in the entire world, only behind Japan. Secondly, they're having the issues they're having because what I've been told by medical professionals that know a lot more about this situation than I do, culturally, they're all packed in like sardines in their communities, and their old live with their young. You've got great grandma, mom and dad, Sally and Susie and their kids, five generations in some cases, all boxed in the same house, the same multi-story community, and they're passing this stuff to their older community because the young still have to go out and get groceries. They still have to go to work. They still have to do what they do for society to survive while this thing washes over us. And yet we're letting ourselves get pulled into the worst case scenario, must be everybody's scenario type responses. And I think it's actually making this much worse in the end. And, you know, for example, we've got 500,000 people in Josephine County, Jackson, Douglas, Curry, and Coos. And as of right now, we have less than 7 people that have been confirmed infected. Some of those people were confirmed a couple, 2-3 weeks ago. I think it's so amazing to me that we are actually taking all the air out of the tire before we even actually have to start dealing with this situation. Now, I'm open to being wrong. Please don't take this as I think I know everything, because I can tell you, I'm just like all you. I have never felt this exposed when it comes to dealing with anything in leadership, whether it's my business, raising my children, giving advice to friends and family that ask me for any. Certainly, as your elected representative in the Senate, I've never felt this at a loss as to really truly know for sure what my actions or what my advocacy for something will end up in an end result. So I can tell you, I need your prayers. We need your prayers. I prayed with Governor Brown on that phone call last week because I don't have to like the way she does things all the time to know that I need to be praying for her to have wisdom and courage to fight back against the knee-jerk reactions and certainly a bunch of over-the-top, self-important national media types. We're just lucky we live in a good community where our local media, in my opinion, is being responsible in how this is being reported and whatnot, but we're not so lucky on a statewide and a national media scale. We need to be praying that somehow the voice of reason is going to start getting to coming to the top. I'm encouraged to hear that President Trump is starting to ease into telling everybody across this nation, we're starting to make the cure far worse than the virus itself because we are shutting down this economy. He at least is starting to say, hey, we're going to probably have to start easing up on some of these measures because if we're completely, totally bankrupt, there'll be nothing left.
Now, I understand there's a potential next week. I just started hearing about this morning for a special session of the legislature. What have you heard about that so far?
Yeah, that just continues to kind of wobble down the road. There's nothing set in stone yet, at least as of this morning, that I'm aware of. And frankly, I'll be honest, we're still seeing a lot of the same problems. I'm gonna completely leave party out of this as far as saying the names today. But we are still seeing a big problem with the rural big city divide, we'll say, in having a full-throated, true teamwork, everybody comes together so we can get ourselves through this type moment. We haven't arrived there yet. People are still letting the biases of their political affiliations or their geographical location affiliations get in the way of truly fighting back against this virus and the economic havoc it is wreaking, whatever the word is, spreading across this nation and in this state. I'm praying and hoping that we are going to, in the next day or two, hopefully at some point, start seeing a real coalition form where we actually start acting like true adults that don't give a damn about party affiliation. We only care about economically and health-wise surviving this and leading our society through it.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County, the interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. It is 1248 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, News Radio 1240 KQEN. State Senator Dallas Hurd in talking about the COVID-19 situation. And we were just talking about before the break the potential for a legislative session. What else is going on because you look at this situation, and it, as you said, it's something that we've never really experienced quite like this before. How are lawmakers involved with what's happening in state government?
Well, we have the COVID-19 committee where you have members from both parties sitting on that committee, and they're going through the process of talking about different ideas and different ways to deal with this and all the different circumstances that are arising from this mess. And it's really just a moving target, Kyle, right? Like every day, one action, it's like none of this stuff is independent from the other. Everything is connected. That's what's so scary about it. And that's why it's so critical for our elected leaders to really think hard about what they're doing. Throw the politics out. Throw the worry about whether you're going to get reelected out. I mean, I'm up for reelection at the end of this year. I don't care. I really don't. I wish people could see my face right now. I don't care about whether I'm reelected or not. I only care about this community and in this country surviving this, especially on the economic front, because you have to be economically sound for your health system to continue to maintain the kind of high-level health quality we all enjoy in this country. I mean, think about it, folks. These executive orders, directly and indirectly, have caused our hospitals to see all of their elective surgeries and whatnot that is what their profitable items are that keeps them afloat. They're all being canceled, whether by force or by decisions by the customer because they're not sure that they are allowed to go get the surgery, or they're freaked out by the chance of being infected, even though that hospital doesn't currently have, or these hospitals in a lot of cases don't even have anybody in there that's confirmed infected. Now, listen, I am not saying that this virus is not something to be taken serious. I believe it is a very serious situation. I'm just going to keep saying it. You have to have both. You have to have money flowing to employ nurses and doctors and to pay for ventilators and to pay for masks and protection equipment and fuel to drive to the hospital and food to feed people and all that kind of stuff. You have to protect both sides of this. And right now, up to this point, we've really just seen this knee-jerk reaction by politicians, in my opinion, to run out there and wave their hands around saying, look at me, I'm doing something. That's where politicians earn their reputation and name of being a politician. I don't want this community to engage in that behavior. We need to be dealing with this as the information comes in and always looking at it through the prism of how do we equally protect the public health and their economic health. You have to have both. This is where my dad's advice and leadership in my life comes to full weight in my mind. He always has told me, you have to be balanced. You have to live and lead with balance. Let's face it, we have not been economically living with balance in balance for a long time in this country. We find ourselves in an economic calamity situation here because we're not financially literate anymore in this country. I don't know if we ever were. We don't save our money. We don't invest it like we should. We spend it on frivolous things. I'm hearing about people that didn't even have a job, are rubbing their hands together waiting for the stimulus package to come, and they're going to get their $1,000 check, and they're talking about where they're going to go spend the money. What the hell? Where are you going to spend the money? How about on keeping your kids and yourself housed? How about food on the table? How about money to pay for medical bills? I mean, come on, let's get real with ourselves. We got to wake up. No matter how this thing all goes, I want you to please remember something today. We need to get our fiscal house in order. It needs to start as free citizens. I'm sick and tired of hearing society, and I'm not necessarily pointing a lot of fingers at this community, although there are people out there that tick me off with all of their criticism of elected officials with no solutions. That is the most prevalent criticism and comments I see is criticism with no solutions. I never listen to people that talk like that, ever. So you're just wasting your breath with me. We have to get our fiscal house in order. Right now, you need to be doing everything you can as individuals to make sure that this economy and you as individuals survive this so we can move on with our lives. And when we emerge from this, let's remember the lessons we learned. Let's not go back to being frivolous spenders. We all want our coffee. We all want to go out to eat. We all want to go on vacation. We all want to have nice cars and nice houses. But you have to do it in a wise manner that slowly builds yourself up to being in the point financial strength-wise to where you can absorb these really tough times. And from there, then we can hopefully start electing people on a state and national level that will actually represent the strength of our wise decision-making as free citizens to be economically savvy and wise in their decisions too. Because this idea that we can just take $2 trillion in national debt out and bail ourselves out with no consequences long term, that's foolhardy. Am I saying that there's no true need for a stimulus package right now? No, there is a need because we've screwed up and now we've got ourselves naked out in the storm and we got to bail ourselves out with a loan to ourselves. But never forget this. Every millennial that's out there like me, you better listen. We're going to have to pay this back. And we are, trust me, unfortunately, we are going to get our shot as millennials on whether we're going to be the greatest generation 2.0, because the older generations, and I know people aren't going to like this, but I'm just going to say it. The older generations have maxed out the credit line, and it's going to be up to me and my kids and everybody else in that age group to pay this thing back. So let's get our heads on straight. Let's push ourselves through this thing. There could come a point in a week from now where I may say to all of you, it's time to push back against this executive order and go back to work. So be preparing yourselves for that. But no matter what, practice your social distancing. Keep your hands washed. Protect yourselves, protect your neighbors from spreading this thing so that if we do have to go back to work because nobody else is going to save us but ourselves, we are prepared to minimize the spread of this thing as we keep ourselves economically upright so we can deal with it when it finally comes.
For some of us that are a little bit older and remember more aspects of 2008, et cetera, during the recessionary period leading up to that, we had very low savings rates, and that fueled some of the problems, much like you just talked about in this situation. Coming out of it for a period of time, people were saving more and all of that. I'm not sure exactly where that stands now, but it was a bitter pill at the time.
Yeah, and you know, Kyle, I want to clarify, you know, the big business boys, I'm sick of them. They're all asking for bailouts. Where the hell have they been putting their money for the last decade as we've been on the longest upward trend economy in history? Where the hell have they been putting their money? Because trust me, folks, I'm not going to get into the details. I'm not sitting here freaked out like I am about our economy because I'm freaked out for myself. I have done what I've advised you to do here today: save, invest, minimize debt. So I'm financially, as a person, I'm in okay shape. And it isn't because of my government employment, because that doesn't pay hardly anything. It's because I did what I needed to do, because at some point the economy goes downward. Nobody expects something like this, but you always have to prepare for it. And I'm sick and tired of seeing the big multi-billion dollar corporations pee their money away, spend way too much on themselves, and then go to us, the U.S. taxpayer, and the future generations that will have to pay this mess back and hold their hands out and say, oh, please bail us out again. The hell with those people. We need to bail out the people that are dying right now economically, who've been sent home from work, who've been just trying to make it from paycheck to paycheck. Those are the people we need to keep upright right now. And the hell with these big businesses. Let them go bankrupt and let somebody else come in and buy it out. And I'm not talking about any of our companies here in this community. Nobody in this community is like that at all. So just remember that. I'm talking about people on Wall Street and those folks.
State Senator Dallas Hurd, 1258.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.